SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website too, stevebeck.com. Tuesday here, and coming out of Preak this weekend, of course, we'll continue recapping, but also hard not to start to look ahead with every... With every recap comes a preview, it seems, when you get to this portion of the Triple Crown season. It's funny because when you come out of Derby, you know, the next question, you know, the next thing on everybody's mind isn't, can he win the Preakness? It's more of, you know, let's talk more about the Derby. But when you get the Preakness win, there's only, you know, there's only one thing that you start to look toward, and that's the possible sweep. And the benefit of another 24 hours every day, as you know, as people start to absorb, I think, more and more of the trip and more of, you know, the things we talked about yesterday. And we'll see. I see, you know, bits and pieces of information kind of coming to the surface. The flotsam and jetsam of the post Preakness, and we'll talk to Jay Brittman. Talk to Jay at the top of hour two. Andy actually pushing back to Wednesday, so we'll talk to Andy Serling tomorrow. Get Andy's recap, and we'll also probably look at the result in New York as well, the Soaring Softly. I haven't reached out to Wesley Ward, but I should. Nootka Sound and Wesley had a notable few days between Happy Like a Fool in the Miss Preakness. You know, the sprinters on that topic, we will talk to Joe Orsino in this hour about what looks to be a very serious turf sprint emergent type in Primus. And I've got to get the official, I'm going to ask Joe for the official pronunciation. I think I said Imprimus yesterday, but that would really be more with a U at the end. So clearly Joe's got something nice here. And even though, you know, the field got chopped up pretty good, This was still a hell of a performance. Off by five lengths, and of course, Imprimis started with Tim Hills, won his first two starts, including the Florida Restricted, and then started his time with Orsino in March. So this is a major player. 103 buyer for the Broken Vow gelding. So Joe Orsino with us today, as well as Jay, and later John White, Jeremy Plonk in hour three. Dick Powell's going to visit. We'll get the week one Presque Isle take, and we'll get Dick's insight as to his Preakness view. Nicole Russo, as well, going to join us early and ahead of the second session at Timonium, and a solid day. It wasn't completely firework laden, but a very solid day of horse sale, as they say, including the $750,000 more than ready colt purchased by Ed Savant. Most of the big numbers came late in the session, including that Mucho Macho Man colt for Kip Elser. And Kip had developed this colt out of the mare It's a Giant Causeway, $625,000. Michael Lund Peterson, and of course, see Peterson's name, you think of more spirit and Baffert. This horse has changed hands a bunch of times already and has gone through the ring. One thing you have to worry about is handling and being being able to deal with, you know, the movement around. He started going back as a short yearling at Keeneland January. Then he was at Keeneland September. Then he was an RNA at OBS March. So he's been through the ring a whole bunch of times. Mucho Macho Man, $625,000. Bred by Teneri Farm and Bernardo Alvarez Calderon. The More Than Ready colt, who's got a strong sibling roster, strong about being out of Ember's Song, bred by the Malones at Bridalwood. And Hartley DiRenzo consigned. But that's a nice score for everybody involved with the Mucho Macho Man, too. And look forward to catching up to Kip Elser. Kirkwood Stables, of course, talked to Kip on a regular basis. And I don't know if he expected the bidding war. This came right at the end of the session yesterday. Hip 278. And there was also the highest filly. Chuck Zackney took home the Bernardini out of Great Look. And this one was bred by Gainsway. Paul Sharp consigned. And one thing that's interesting was a RNA as a yearling, and was an expensive RNA. $685 wasn't enough at Saratoga to take that one home. But that filly, 3.25, is the top filly of the day. So still absorbing a lot of the results. We'll get an update from Nicole Russo, who's on hand for DRF, and we'll also talk to Nicole, her Preakness observations as well. Nicole was trailing behind Justify after the Preakness, followed him back to the barn, and her video was well circulated, showing him on his toes and bouncing and absolutely springy coming out of the race. Pretty amazing, considering that everyone thinks that he's minutes away from, you know, from having to retire. It's really strange. I'm anxious for Jay. We'll let Jay's the right guy to scoff at those kinds of takes on this. I see. Oh, he won't even run. He won't even make it to Bell. That was one of the things that emerged yesterday. Oh, they, you know, because Baffert said if he's ready, if he's right, we'll go. Yeah, okay. That means that does that open the door? Listen, the door's always open. They're horses. They could move funny. They could move strangely, getting up from laying down in their stall and get hurt. Any possible thing can happen. So what we're certainly hoping for is what everybody wants, and I don't mean necessarily him, you know, going to New York and winning and another Triple Crown, and we just want the opportunity to, you know, for it to come together. And, you know, the field is still a lot of questions, and I really didn't spend any time on that yesterday, just given the recapping of what was going on. But you may have seen on Sunday, Dave Greinich wrote a piece, and Dave very quickly on Sunday morning surveyed the landscape as to who may run, and he zeroed in on the overlap, the ownership circumstances. And as I mentioned, you know, Chuck Simon sounded off on this early Sunday morning as well. You know, Chuck saying, you know, when you have groups like this, aren't they supposed to be competing against each other, not teaming up? And you know, isn't this an issue that, you know, isn't all that healthy, or a circumstance that isn't all that healthy for the sport? And that's a legitimate discussion. And you know, you have a horse like Audible, who ran a very good third in the Derby, you know, who's got the, you know, the complete ownership overlap with Justify. Yeah, and then my boy Jack, who's got Sol Cumin involved. And, you know, Sol's got a small, you know, minority interest in Justify. He's got equal partnership as laid out by Greinich with the Don't Tell My Wife and West Point portions of My Boy Jack. And of course, My Boy Jack was also potentially being considered for some turf action, which is down the road, of course. I mean, nothing says that My Boy Jack couldn't run in the Belmont and then come back in the Belmont Derby later on, which is worth a million and a quarter. The funniest one of the funniest elements of this, I put a little picture up. Baffert was reading a text from Ahmed Zayat, and Zayat sent the Dave Greinich piece and the Dave Greinich notes about the possible Belmont field to Baffert. And one of the notes was that Solimini, you know, was a horse that complicates Justify, and Baffert completely scoffed at that. Baffert laughed. He said, "Solimini's there's no conflict with Solimini, and Justify." And pretty much all of us that were standing there said, "Well, you train both," and he he shrugged. He said, "Yeah, there's no Solimini's not getting in the way. You don't have to, even if he runs." I think is what Baffert was inferring. That he wouldn't be getting in the way of Justify. It was a few lighthearted moments with Baffert. And as I mentioned yesterday, we only had a second. If you listened to Baffert just now from yesterday, the replay, you could tell he seems very, very comfortable and confident about where he stands with Justify coming out of these first two legs. And isn't that all that matters, really? So Bravazo and Tenfold, the horses that were closest to Justify at the wire, they're going to come back, and so that'll mean that Bravazo will be the only other horse beside Justify to participate in all three races. And he's certainly, you know, he's done yeoman's work, as they say, right? The Lucas trainee. The others, for those, Vino Rosso, Blended Citizen, there was people asking yesterday about Instilled Regard. He's not coming. Chad Brown has got his hands on Gronkowski and is keeping, you know, is kind of learning about him, and he'll make a decision when the time's right, but is making no commitments. And of course, as we said, Audible still under consideration. Hoffberg for Belmont. Who does that leave? Blended Citizen out of the right out of the Peter Pan we mentioned. So a fairly modest, probably about the same as what we saw in the Preakness. Potentially lining up against Justify. So there you go. We'll head to the break, Case, and Nicole, I want to get to Nicole Russo and get her update from Timonium. Some of the possibilities today. There's the Candy Ride Philly out of Merrifield. That's fairly early today. Hip 349. Who else? You've got Go Sapper Colt. Hip 550. Phipps Family Mare. Dagliadoro Colt right at the end later. First foal out of Tapacat. This was a $475,000 yearling at Keeneland last fall. You also got a colt that's already been named, Royal Family, hip 436. Zepesa's half-sister. And also from the family of Gronkowski and Perfect Soul. That's hip 436 today. So there's plenty of nice ones. And that's what's interesting about this sale. We'll get Nicole's thoughts, but it's got that mixed, sort of interesting mixed regional breads, New York breads, Maryland breads, Pennsylvania breads. And there's also, I should mention, the colt, speaking of Kip Elser, remember Blue talked about the one that he bred, is hip 365 today, the Noble Mission colt. That's a half to Azar. That sells today. So, should be good. We'll talk to Nicole. And, you know, I should mention, it's got nothing to do with Nicole, per se. Joe Nevels was let go on Friday by the forum. And we'll see, you know, keep tabs, wish Joe the best, because he does a good job. And, you know, you do wonder if it's a signal, I don't know if it means less bloodstock coverage at DRF or not. But we wish Joe Nevels the best. We'll get Joe back. He'll be back on. Assuming he's going to keep covering bloodstock, which he loves and does a good job with. Nicole Russo, Joe Orsino, Jay Pribman, Dick Powell, John White, Jeremy Blanc, and much more at the races. Still recapping Preakness and looking toward Belmont back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
He's got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by 5.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania-bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale at Timonium. Now he's a Grade 1 winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Cartery Flew Home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Fasig Tipton 2-year-olds in training sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you grow up, live it like a good boy ought to. And your mama takes a shine of the best sun.
Back at the races. A lot of the good times from the weekend spilled over into Timonium, and of course the Thursday Breeze Show had to be postponed because of the just relentless rain, and so there was a little added work, and that came on Sunday, and then yesterday's half of the catalog, and today the other half of the catalog, starting in about 40 minutes. Nicole Russo's had a busy week, first covering Preakness and then being on the spot with her trusty camera phone, trailing behind Justify and showing everybody how he sprang out of the race back to the barn. Nicole Russo joins us from Timonium outside the Beltway. Nicole, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good. Are you still as bouncy after a week plus of nonstop work, sale work?
I'll tell you. I think Justify came out of it a little better than I did, but we're hanging in there. And the second and final session of the Timonium 2-year-old sale today, as you mentioned, actually begins a little bit later this afternoon with the changes to the Breeze Show, as you mentioned, and the postponement Sunday normally would have been a big inspection day for prospective buyers. So they pushed back the start of both sessions to allow a little bit more time for people to inspect horses in the mornings. You know, the schedule just continuing to change with the weather that obviously everybody had to cope with on track and off.
Absolutely. Makes sense. And I did. It's funny now that you say that. I did notice that it did seem a little later yesterday as, some of the high 200 mm-hmm. hip numbers were going through, and that included a horse that kind of boosted things. And for those that saw your recap, or even if they didn't, a very solid session, no seven figures, but $750,000 more than ready tops the session. And we also, as I mentioned, you had that Mucho Macho Man that Kip Elser prepared, and Michael Lund Peterson, More Spirit, and Hip 278, they pretty much were the engine on the train yesterday.
Yeah, they were the stars who helped close out the session strong. The session was steady, if not smashing. When you looked at the final returns, the gross was up a little bit. The average was almost even. I think the average price ticked down only 1%. The median dropped about 10%. The buyback rate was a little bit improved. So those are, very steady figures. You especially have to keep in mind that this sale, which has risen in prominence in recent years, so many good graduates that have come out of it, it's been establishing records year after year as it's gotten bigger and bigger, and eventually it is going to plateau. So yesterday's session, very steady, if not smashing. And I do think that the way the catalog is alphabetically arranged, so it's luck of the draw. I do think some of the stronger horses come up a bit later today.
We'll look to today's session in a minute. Let's hit a few highlights among the, not just the top sellers, but also among some of the first crops and some of the other notable winners. And I suppose that we could also note being even with last year in the first session, there's a whole bunch of horses that went from, let's say, 75,000 to 300,000. And if we want to define that as a strengthening of a middle market, so be it.
Yeah, definitely. The pavilion was pretty crowded yesterday. There was good activity on a lot of horses. I do think that there is, a middle to low high-end market there.
How many outs? Do we know what the total was for both days?
Oh, goodness. I'm not sure what the total was for both days off the top of my head.
I'm just curious. I mean, because there were quite a few from yesterday. And, mm-hmm. Of course, this isn't the last opportunity, but, we are getting dwindling opportunities at this point. Hit some of the, some of the principals. We see, we see a lot of familiar names. And, in fact, the Young brothers, both Gary and Steve, who operate on opposite coasts and in different circles, they were pretty prominent yesterday.
Yeah, they were. And, looking at the results, Stephen Young came in and purchased a very nice McLean's Music colt for $300,000, one of the, top five prices of the day. McLean's Music had a really good Breeze show, had a couple of his Breeze in 10 and 1/5, which were in the multitude of horses tied at that time, the second fastest for a long time overall. So he came in and bought one of those. Gary Young came in and bought a nice Frisian Fire colt. He purchased him as agent for Mike Dubb for $210,000. Frisian Fire obviously on the rise with his son Army Mule, who is a graduate of this Mid-Atlantic sale out there. And then the obvious highlights, the More Than Ready colt he mentioned out of Canadian champion Ember Song, $750,000 to lead the session. Agent Ben McElroy signed the ticket with trainer Simon Callahan standing with him. Callahan said that they purchased the colt for one of his current clients. Looking at the ticket, they put the moniker Ed Savant on it, which is a pseudonym that occasionally Kaleem Shah uses. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that More Than Ready colt under Shah's colors. And then Mucho Macho Man, really the breakout first crop sire at this sale so far. He's had a lot of horses work very well, including the colt who Michael Peterson, who you mentioned, purchased for $625 late in the session. This was a colt that there was a lot of activity on. I mean, it was a long bidding war to get him to $625. It seems like there's a lot of interest in this horse, who actually was a buyback at OBS March a couple of months ago. So that indicates to me that, you know, he's really matured. He's really coming around. What you would expect from a Mucho Macho Man. He was a little bit later developing himself. And looking at the Mucho Macho Mans out here on the sale grounds, they're big, long-bodied horses. They look like they want to run longer. And that's why it is so interesting to me that this high-priced Mucho Macho Man colt had the fastest quarter-mile breeze of the breeze show. He really shone there in that arena doing a little bit more. And, you know, that to me makes perfect sense.
Couple of other notes. I thought FedBiz, those three FedBizes for six figures, led by the $280,000 purchase by Olin Gentry. Mm-hmm. That was the colt out of Ascot Mama, hip 88. There was a private sale. East Hickman took a McCathen Brothers FedBiz colt. That was 86. That came right before. That was $150,000. And there was also the Koreans took one home. FedBiz colt 142 out of Charlie Papa for $100,000. So FedBiz continues go strength to strength from what we saw at Ocala.
Yeah, and you know the people who are following me on Twitter just certainly know that, you know, I've been a fan of FedBiz for a couple of years. I've been waiting to see his first runners. He's certainly from a stallion making family, was a very versatile runner himself, and you look at him and he is just this, you know, built like a tank, powerhouse of a horse, and you know, I'm seeing that strength in his offspring. I mean, they just look like beasts, and you know, I think that's starting to prove out as they've gotten a little bit older. His yearling results were better than his weanling results, and now he's really becoming a breakout horse this two-year-old sale season, you know, a value sire, I think, at his price point. And yeah, I'm really excited to see what these do when they hit the track.
You also had a couple of $110,000 sellers for Union Rags. Bruce Levine took one home, and so did Dennis O'Neill.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously I'm always looking to see what Dennis O'Neill buys, you know, because he's found such diamonds in the rough for, you know, for his brother Doug's operation and Doug O'Neill's clients. And Union Rags is another one he's got a chance to have a really strong close to the sale today. As I mentioned, so many horses were tied at that 10 1/5 for the fastest time of the Breeze Show. And then a Union Rags colt broke through in that postponed Sunday session, worked in 10 flat to stand alone atop the leaderboard. The colt's a full brother to a winner who's out there. And he's one of those where he's definitely got a chance to finish the sale strong today.
Got to mention, we'll take charge in this roundup of young sires because there were a couple of RNAs, including the one that I thought I think Aaron Yagoda had, the Greek sister son, Pat Hoppel consigned RNA'd at 150, but there was a 190 that went to Mike Maker. That was a colt out of Coolot, and in fact, seeing the Coolot makes me think of Anna Seitz, because she bought a something out of Coolot.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, or year before.
We'll take charge. Another solid sale, certainly, as they're continuing to. He's had a couple of starters. He had that very impressive winner in California, who's got the top buyer of the year to date for a 2 year old. Tajori with a 77. So yeah, we'll take charge, continuing to come out with some solid results, as is Cairo Prince, who just had his first winner on Saturday. Cairo Prince, you know, so well regarded throughout, you know, each checkpoint of his young stud career to date as well.
Well, we looked at today, and you mentioned, you know, some of the strength, and there are some top established stallion products that are going to go through today, including a Tappet later on, 538. That's a Colt, and I mentioned the Ghost Zapper Hip 550. Comes out of the Phipps family broodmare line. You had later on, too, the Medaglia-Doro Colt 565. There's a Candy Ride out of Merrifield. Who else are you watching closely today?
Well, gosh, I think you, I think you just kicked off the horses that we're really looking at. Obviously, you know, we mentioned the Union Rags Colt. He's cataloged as Hip 561, the fastest worker of the Breeze Show in 10 flat. And, you know, he has the family to back it up. He's, you know, full brother to a winner, as I mentioned. There's a very nice Cairo Prince Colt, I thought, Hip 436, who is a half to grade one winner, Zepesa. It's the family of Perfect Soul, also the family of Gronkowski, who is, of course, eyeing the Belmont now. Hip 538, the Tappet Colt, is the first foal out of a grade three place, multiple stakes winner. And he worked in 10 and one-fifth and looked well doing it. And I thought he galloped out very well, too. You know, I looked up, and he was already all the way up the backstretch of the five-furlong track here at Timonium. So I thought he, you know, galloped out very strongly. The Ghost Zapper Colt, who you mentioned, Hip 550, got a big update on the Saturday Preakness card when Fire Away won that off-the-turf Dixie Stakes. Fire Away and the immediate family. This is, of course, the family of, you know, the great personal ensign. And Hip 565 is the horse who a lot of us are really picking to, you know, top or close to top the sale. Obviously, you know, Medaglia-Doro, you cannot go wrong with. And this family really has some commercial power. Tappet, who's starting to hit his stride as a broodmare sire, this one is out of the Tappet mare, Tappacat, a grade one winner, or grade three winner, I'm sorry, trying to upgrade her there, herself. Tappacat was purchased for $2.2 million as a broodmare prospect, and this colt sold for $475,000 last year at Keeneland September. So as a pinhook prospect, you're certainly looking for him to really improve on that figure.
Well, we can improve on Nicole Russo's coverage, and we'll be watching later on today as the second half of the Timonium sale wraps, and then people who have been on hand for over a week preparing for this, and then people that came in for Preakness weekend and their connections, their agents, pretty much wrap up at least you know, this portion of the calendar for two-year-olds. What else is left for?
We continue on to the big ones are the Ocala Breeder Sales Company June. Does have their June sale of two-year-olds.
Right.
And then there's some very interesting sales in the month of July. Phasing Tipton does their Horses of Racing Age sale in Kentucky, which precedes their traditional July yearling sale. And Barrett's holds their paddock sale of racing prospects at Del Mar. And both of those sales, obviously, you know, a good spot for a promising, you know, two-year-old. We've seen people bring in you know, good-looking debut winners looking to, you know, turn around and profit on them. So both of those sales are very interesting as you're watching these two-year-olds.
Well, Nicole, the other thing, of course, we're watching is the preparations for Belmont. And some thoughts from you, the final perspective from you on what we saw Saturday.
Well, gosh, I... you know, to be honest, you know, I've seen a lot of criticism of, you know, the time of the race, the margin of victory. Justify actually impressed me a bit more in the Preakness, I would say, than he did in the Kentucky Derby. I am not knocking his performance in the Derby because he ran, you know, up with a hot pace on a track that was very tiring and, you know, turned back all comers. But in the Preakness, you know, the bullseye was on his back and they took it to him from the gate. And I really felt that he looked horses in the eye and overcame adversity. And, you know, to me, that was the question with him when he came to the Derby, when he came to the Triple Crown Series coming out of California, you know, it was how he was going to handle adversity and what he was really made of. And I think he showed a lot of that on Saturday. I think he came out of the race in stunningly good order. I do think the Belmont's going to be a tall task because I think there are a couple of horses waiting in New York in a Vino Rosso and Blended Citizen who are just, you know, made to go long on the dirt like this. You know, there's a reason that there were 37 years between Triple Crown winners. It takes a very special horse, but I think the way Justify responded to that adversity on Saturday shows that he is a very special horse.
Well, and you know, you've got a great feel for physical presence, and the video that you shot walking back after the festivities by the weather vane was pretty telling, because a number of the other participants were dragging, and he justified, you know, prancing back to the stakes barn. Really, to me, Nicole, there's a storyline here for those that think that, you know, that, oh, he came close to getting beat. There's a portion of this that says that while he may not have run his best, quote unquote, that some of the extenuating circumstances of the properties of the racetrack may have played into that. And I think being dismissive of him going forward in 3 weeks is, without considering this element, is really short-sighted.
Well, certainly. And I mean, you know, he did. I do think that this horse has, you know, an incredible, you know, just, you know, probably looking at him physically, an incredible cardiovascular system, the way he bounces back. Because, you know, I almost thought the same thing after the Derby. You know, we're out on the turf course and they're putting the roses on him, and, you know, his head is down a little, and I'm like, wow, you know, he's pretty tired. And then, you know, the next morning, you know, obviously, you know, his head is up, his eyes are bright. And after the Preakness, I thought the same thing. We're out on the turf course and I'm watching him breathe, and I'm like, oh, he's a tired puppy. And then, you know, and I thought, I walked back to the mandatory post-race detention barn with him, and then walked back to the stakes barn, which you referenced. And by the time we were going back to the stakes barn, you know, so maybe an hour, hour and a half after the race, he was up on his toes with his ears up and his eyes bright and just wow. I mean, it's not that he doesn't feel these races, but he does bounce back incredibly.
Well, are you going to bounce back all the way to New York with us?
We'll see. We'll see. Justify sure bounces out of it better than I do. I sure hope to be there.
Excellent. Well, Nicole, in the meantime, we appreciate it. We'll be watching your feed, and those of you on Twitter, if you're not following Nicole, you should be. DRF Russo, R-U-S-S-O. Nicole got a terrific eye for a young horse, for the sales market, all elements, the bloodstock, and in the afternoons as well. And is a versatile and invaluable member of the DRF coverage team. Nicole, we will check in soon. I appreciate the visit.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you having me.
Not at all. Nicole Russo, everybody. And Nicole, you know, she does advances on races, and does, you know, post-race recaps. And right now, she is the sole field reporter when it comes to the sales and bloodstock. Of course, Mark Simon still at DRF as well, but Nicole, she'll be the go-to at DRF for these conversations. Let's take a break. We're going to go to Joe Orsino, Joe O, who's had a lot of great moments in his career at Pimlico. The biggest of which, of course, was sending out Red Bullet. That's going to be tough to, yeah, that's going to be tough to top. But he's got himself his hands on a very nice turf sprinter. And you know, we also have to start to tally up the match series recap. And also, I got to find out. From Alan Foreman and Tom Lamara how the off the turf portion affects things in the very one. You know, does it affect the scoring? How do they adjust for that? So, but Joe Orsino, who we love and always makes me laugh. Joe makes me laugh. He's always got a funny quip. Quip wasn't funny on Saturday, though. Yeah, speaking of Quip. But Joe Orsino joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
He's got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by 5.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania-bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale at Timonium. Now he's a Grade 1 winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Cartery Flew Home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Fasig Tipton 2-year-olds in training sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
You've got an open heart, so you share what's inside, thinking that all is said in confidence, but then you realize the sun is here.
We're back at the races, about 15 minutes to the top of the hour. Jay Priffin is going to join us. We'll get his Preakness Watch recap. And right now, Joe Orsino, Joe O. And Joe, as I said, going into the break, he's enjoyed some pretty terrific career highlights at Old Hilltop, not the least of which, a win in the Preakness with Red Bullet. And always fun, Joe, and I imagine, to come back to Pimlico, and in this case, win on Friday in the Jim McKay Turf Sprint. Imprimis, how are we pronouncing this horse's name?
Hello?
Joe.
Steve, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, yeah. You all right?
Okay. I had a hard time hearing you.
All right, there we go.
We're calling it, we call him Imprimis, so I guess it's pretty close. We'll just keep calling him the winner for now. That's good enough.
Well, he's undefeated. He's the least known undefeated horse in America.
Hopefully we can change that.
Well, do you mean the undefeated part or the awareness?
No, we can get them known.
Explain how, you know, how he came your way. He started with Tim Hills, and now you've had him since midwinter.
Yeah, it was a funny story. We were at the sale in Ocala, the March sale. And the Breeze Easy people were there. Mike Hall was there. He's part owner in Breeze Easy. And Mike is good friends with Craig Wheeler. But Craig told him he had this horse that was 2 for 2 and that he was going to sell him. And he was supposed to be being sold to California. Craig told Mike Hall that he really would wanted to sell him to somebody to keep the horse in Florida, because he's a Florida bred and he gets Breeders' Awards. So Mike asked me about the horse. He says, "Do you know this horse?" I said, "I sure do." I said, "I watched him run the other day. I tried to claim a horse that finished second to him." And I said, "I think he's got it all over Florida bred." So we decided, maybe we would vet him and see what it looked like. So, I mean, he's a four-year-old that only started twice, so he had some minor vetting issues, but we decided to take the chance. So it was just the right place at the right time. But if I wasn't there, he probably would have been in California right now.
Well, in the meantime, obviously with this bit of a breakthrough, you also get the opportunity to run him on a less than firm turf course. So you get that knowledge about him. Talk about what you've encountered with him and how you plot a course clearly to the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint.
We're getting bad weather here, Steve, and it's a little faint, but just ask me that again.
Sure.
I'm having a hard time hearing
you. Well, you got a lesson with the soft turf. He was running he's run all his races at Gulfstream, where it's barely a turf course, and so you learn a little something about him. What do you do, and how do you spend the summer months aiming toward Breeders' Cup at Churchill?
Yeah, well, and again, we bought him for the Florida program, and the first time we ran him, that didn't happen very long. The first time I ran him was basically getting him from Timmy Hills, and Timmy did a great job with him. And, we got him in our program for a short while, and we ran him. And when he ran that day, he kind of pulled away from some better allowance horses. And we thought, wow, when he ran a 99 buyer that day. So, I told them, the racing manager and Breeze Easy guys, I said, listen, he might be a little better than we thought. And, I know we bought him for the Florida program, but we may have to travel with this horse a little bit. So everybody agreed, and we decided on either the race at Churchill or the race at Pimlico. And at that point, he had only won two Florida bred races and an open allowance. So I trying to manage him properly, I decided to go to the Pimlico race. I thought it would have been a little easier than the Churchill Downs race that they had. And unfortunately, the weather didn't cooperate. They did keep it on the turf. There was a lot of scratches, which it was an easier race, obviously. And he ran the other day. Well, first of all, getting him ready, it was 54-day layup. And when he ran the other day, I was able to work him a few times. And I worked him one time at Gulfstream over a fresh, hard turf course, you know, that nobody's been on. And he worked. He showed me he had a turn of foot that was just out of, I just couldn't believe it. So, you know, I knew he was special that day I worked him. And after that, I slowed him down. And, you know, he responded to everything we asked him to do. And he came here off of that long layup. And, you know, he handled that soft, soggy turf the other day pretty well. I looked it up. He ran 103 Beyer. I didn't get his sheet number yet, but he ran a pretty big race for over a turf course that wasn't that great.
Oh, so, that's what's so stunning is for him to record that kind of a figure and power away from that field in the same way he did basically, you know, down in Florida. I mean, he hasn't won by less than a length and a half, and now he's won by 4.5 and 5.5.
Yeah, the IRAD did give me a little insight. The first time we ran him, you know, I mean, he ran well. He ran well, and you know, everybody was happy. But this time when he ran him, he said, you know, Joe, I don't know what you've done, but I could feel the horse a little different, responded to me, you know, just everything that we, you know, you hope to improve a horse. But, you know, the horse was 3 for 3 going in there, so how do you improve them? But, you know, you like to think that you get them in your program and they go in the right direction. And he apparently did, and obviously now, you know, we sat down yesterday out at Timonium at the sale, and we're working backwards now from the Breeders' Cup, and hopefully we'll map out a good program for him.
Well, I imagine if we go back a few years, you probably participated in the match series when it was being run, you know, 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah, it's a great series. It's fun, right? So, I mean, if you have the horse that can compete, well, you know, why not, you know? So, and they all kind of work into our pattern of being a stepping stone for the race we want to run in November. So, the first one's back too quick. I'm not quite sure why they scheduled it that way. But, you know, 16 days for a horse that just ran as fast as he did, I wouldn't do that. But the next one is actually at Parks, and that's good timing. It gives them 6 weeks, almost 7. And, you know, I really would like to run them 3 more times before the Breeders' Cup anyway, so it kind of falls right into our plans.
Yeah, also, one thing with the Breeders' Cup being at Churchill, when it comes to configuration, 5.5 furlongs, and that fits his, you know, fits his needs and it seems in his style, so pretty exciting. Imprimis, new to the barn, and Joe, we should mention, you know, given what is going on in not just in racing but in the sports betting landscape here the last week plus, we talked to Dennis Drazen after the Supreme Court announcement. You had a long run in Jersey. This can breathe life clearly into Monmouth for the long haul. You made the change and made the commitment to stay in South Florida now year round. Some thoughts on the opportunity maybe to be lured back to Oceanport in coming years?
Well, I actually have 10 horses at Monmouth right now that I sent there, some Jersey breds for Mr. Generazzo. And some a few other horses, and actually that's where Imprimis is going to train, because it's just more centrally located to Parks and everywhere else that we're going to be running them. So I am still kind of active at Monmouth, just not as strong. You know, you hope it's a shot in the arm for him, because, you know, I've been training 41 years. I saw Atlantic City close, I saw Garden State close, and I sure don't want to see Monmouth close. It's just such a pretty track and a nice place to be, but I think they have a rough road ahead of them to get this going, but, you know, with a little luck, I mean, probably Dennis is one of the only people that probably can get this done. So I wish him all the luck in the world, and it would be great. I mean, we have to keep racing alive in New Jersey. Without Monmouth, there is no more racing. So you just hope that it takes off for him in the right direction.
Well, wanted to give you a chance to talk about it, and of course, coming back to Pimlico, always it's got to be a special memory and uncertain future to this facility, but your win with Red Bullet, Jerry Bailey aboard for Mr.